Okay, so we're continuing with the 24 gurus, and yesterday we left off with the moon. And after the moon comes the sun. And although Srila Prabhupada would say that based on the chronology of days, that Sunday comes before Monday, so that means that the sun is closer to the earth than the moon. But here, we're not talking cosmology, but just talking about examples. And the sun evaporates unbelievable quantities of water from bodies of water like the oceans and lakes and so on, and distributes that water in the form of rain to all kinds of places, either to arid places or even the rain just falls on the ocean, as it is doing here right now. Weather turned very cool. And yet at the same time, the sun is never touched by the clouds or the water. Similarly, the sun purifies many places, dirty places. Prabhupada will give an example of a urinal. Everything that the sun touches, it makes pure, and it itself remains completely untouched. This is the example of how one needs to also move in the world, purify others, but not get influenced by their impurities. And of course that's also there in the duty of the spiritual master, is that the spiritual master also takes responsibility for the disciples. But as Chanaka Pandit says, one should not be too closely, intimately involved with others, lest one become entangled in others' difficulties and problems. So spiritual master should also give direction and guidance to the disciple, but at the same time should not get entangled in the inevitable anarthas, shortcomings, and problems that disciples will inevitably experience. And following the sun is the example of the pigeon. And interesting to see the reaction of people when they hear these stories of how the pigeons are in a very animated situation and discussing the plight of household life. But these are forest pigeons, husband and wife, were very much in love, and they have little baby pigeons. And the baby pigeons hatch, and of course they have to go and find food for their chicks. And while they do, the fowler shows up, and people hunt birds. Well, I don't think they so much hunt them for food anymore, but they certainly do hunt them for pets, and there's a big trade and different types of exotic animals, all the way up to lions and tigers. So the fowler comes, sees the chicks, and he says, well, Better that I just wait until the parents come back, because much more of a valuable catch. So he does wait. He waits until the mother shows up, and then he throws his net and catches them all in his net. In due course of time, the husband also comes back. The male pigeon returns, and when he sees his whole family in the net of the fowler, he laments, and Bhagavatam describes the lamentation of the pigeon, and he laments and ultimately becomes so overcome by illusion that he falls into the net. The fowler is very happy, and he goes home with a whole stash of pigeons. So here the lesson is that one should not become overly enamored by family life. It's natural that one develops a certain degree of attachment to other living entities with whom one lives in close proximity, but that attachment should not go to the level of bewilderment, where one loses one's transcendental knowledge. One recognizes that we're just living entities who come together for a brief period of time and then again separate. More or less, we are all strangers to each other. And therefore, to have this false identity that here is my son, here is my daughter, here is my mother, father, husband, grandparents, and so on, this is called illusion. One should stay away from that illusion by maintaining a very clear spiritual identity, being aware that, yes, we're all spirit souls, and seeing how we can assist each other on the progressive path back home, back to Godhead, knowing that aside from doing our best, neither we can save anyone from material suffering, neither can we even guarantee someone else's liberation. We can just give him the opportunity, give him the chance. Otherwise, if you become too enamored by sense gratification, then bewilderment will lead to fall down, something that the Vaishnavas want to stay clear of. And the third one is the python, who's a very very interesting example, because python is this huge snake who lies on the path. Different animals take different paths. Usually they have their own paths, and then, like for instance, deer have their own paths, and rabbits have their own paths, and of course carnivorous animals who hunt these, they lie on all of these paths. So a python lies on the path of some animal and waits. He doesn't go out in search of his food. He just waits until his food comes to him and then catches it. Of course, it's probably a rare occasion that animals are so foolish that they'll just walk into a python's mouth. Therefore, a python does make some effort to catch his meal. But it's minimal. He doesn't go out of his way. And similarly, that's what Rupa Goswami means by over-endeavor. One shouldn't make excessive effort for one's maintenance. Rather, having faith in the laws of karma and destiny, in the Lord's will, we should just make the minimal effort in order to maintain ourselves and not compromise our principles. Python has this principle that he's not going to go running around. Similarly, we have a primary principle that we should ensure our spiritual development, and that we should go back home, back to Godhead. And that is what should be our priority in life, and what we make arrangement for. the python isn't sitting there meditating on Krishna, but a Vaishnava is. A Vaishnava is absorbed in Krishna's service and in Krishna's smaran, and he doesn't allow his bodily maintenance and so on to compromise that. Whatever it takes to live, fine. And if no food comes and no other creatures come, then the python just takes it. All right, this is my fate, this is my karma, and I will just wait here. So this concept of over-endeavor should be well considered and meditated upon, so that we don't become part of the excessive consumer economic development machinery of the world around us, but we stick by our principles, and our principles being those of principles of pure devotion, which is that one lives to serve Krishna and to learn how to love Krishna. Hare Krishna.